Welcome back to the Leafs Cast, where the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're not going to win four in a row, guys. If you're here, you probably
we're
know
that.
We're
not that different a team. Leafs lose.
We are all different. You as listeners are different, but the Toronto Maple Leafs are not different as they drop game.
That's TBD. Hold on. Say they're not different. The series isn't over yet. Stop that violin.
Wow, Ryan, you're a ray of positivity on this podcast.
We're not dead men walking. That's right. I'm on Barb's side now. We're rays of positivity on this pod.
Shout out to Barb.
We're not a violin of death here yet. We're still in the series.
It was an I mean, Kupfer's had the quote after the game of like, oh, this is so much fun. How do you guys want this to go any less than seven? We'll see you back here on Monday, whenever it is. And it's like, man, I really hope he's wrong. Tonight's game was fun, less stressful than the other ones, but we lost.
It was a tight game. 4-2 doesn't really tell the full story. You know, we had an empty netter with like 0.7 seconds left to go in the game. So we'll call it a 2-3 loss. And yep. Leafs get out to the early lead where Tampa comes back 2 seconds later with, I think it was it Hagel with the goal? I hate that guy. Isamont.
That was terrible.
But a nice goal by Morgan Rielly, who continues just like an excellent offensive playoff series and like a really an excellent offensive playoff career. Then Tampa comes back with another goal. Oh my gosh. I don't even have
that one was rough on Sammy.
Who was that one? Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
I mean, anyone could have scored that. It was just like this wimpy little shot that is when it's, you know, the classic goal that goes in when we're in a potential series clinching game, which we've now lost 10 in a row. Not that anyone's counting.
But so I'm, you know, then the Leafs are down 2-1. And I'm still into the game, but it's the third period, and I don't know. I just wasn't feeling quite as good. And then for some reason, the Nick Paul line, it's Nick Paul. Oh, gosh, who's that other jabroni? I am bad podcasting right
Lauren
now.
Lauren on that line? I could be wrong.
Anyway, how much am I really supposed to know these Tampa Bay Lightning players? Anyway,
not the top line.
And I just said, oh no, for some reason, I think like my inner hockey fan, my inner Maple Leafs being just knew that this was going to result in a bad goal against. And, they pot one in. Leafs have a nice run at the end with an empty net. Our goalie pulled about 4.5 minutes to go in the game to get Austin Matthews, fifth goal in four games. And it wasn't enough. As the Toronto Maple Leafs drop game 5. So I don't know. It was a tight game.
All right. Do you guys want to start off with the positive things, the things that were good takeaways? And then we can
say whatever. Tim, what's on your mind? Say something.
Well, I mean, like, on one hand, Rielly played well. Matthews played well. Nylander had a few nice flashes. But, like, I feel like the things that we want to change next game is a much longer discussion.
Like, what do you want to change? Say, come on. What do you get into it?
Get Hall out of my lineup, yeah. And I always a mistake not to have Bunting in the lineup. Keith Galaxy brained it. Like, just put your best lineup on the ice. So, like, Michael Bunting's a 20-goal man. Don't overthink it.
It was two of the three goals, the three, like, even-strength goals against all three goals against, actually, it was Hall and Gio on the ice, right?
Hall has been on the ice for, like, 13 of Tampa's 17 goals. But, like, partly it's like they're clearly targeting him Cody Ceci style. Like, they say, oh, we have a weak link. Let's target the weak link and keep beating on it. Oh, if only we had 8 more defense and we could maybe balance it out or like get like shelter Hall. I don't know. Clearly it's not working though.
Well, the second weak goal against Hall gets completely walked, right? And it's a goal that Sammy Smiles needs to let in. Or sorry, should stop, but like, I don't know, it goes in. But again, like, maybe he stops that if, you know, the forward there doesn't have like all day to make that shot. But you watch back on the replay of the first goal and the third goal, Gio and Hall are not even in the picture. You do not see them anywhere near the... So it's... They're getting walked, but it's just like defensive awareness. Like how are you not even in the replay? Like, why were you so high? How does Gio look at Hall, who pinches, gets beat, and then says, let me try one of those? And then he gets beat. And it's just like, okay, yes,
we
I don't
call it a senior moment.
David Kampf and, you know, Zach Aston-Reese for not being able to stop the Tampa forwards. I don't know. Does he have to go? He's got to go, right?
Justin Hall is so, sometimes he's just the worst player who's ever donned the Maple Leafs, and other times he's a solid top four defenseman. And for the first half of the season, he was the lesser of those two things, and the second half, he was the better. And you kind of hoped, because he's playing with Mark Giordano. Giordano has been one of the most consistent defensemen on our team all season long. And for some reason, that pair just hasn't really worked. Like, even over the last three games where we won them all, and especially game two where we really dominated, if you were to pick out one of those defensive pairs that struggled the most, it's probably that pair of Gio Hall, which is really unfortunate. We were kind of hoping that as a third pair, like, we went stretches of the season where that was like our second pair to put with our injuries that we had on defense. And they were fine as a second pair. So you were hoping that as a third pair in sheltered minutes and let fewer minutes, that duo of Hall and Giordano would be able to survive. It's kind of beginning worse as the series has gone along. Like, game four was their worst game. And then game five, which is what we just witnessed, that was their new worst game. And you don't want to see it going in that trajectory, especially with Justin Hall. I find that him, more than most other players in our team, will ride the high and stay there for a while, and then ride the low and stay there for a while. And if this is him on his way to the low, then you might be right, Tim. It might be time to cut the losses and say, you know what? In the regular season, Gio and Liljegren have had a lot of success together as well. And that they were really good. I don't know. It's just to change something up might be necessary here on defense, because they're being targeted.
If I were the Leafs, I would broadcast the NHL saying that Giordano was injured after being blindsided from behind at the end of the second period by Fat Pat. Like, ridiculous that he only got a 2-minute penalty on that play. Should have been at least call it a major, then call it down. I have no faith in George Perez. They'll call a suspension unless if they say it's an injury. Maybe to sit him for a game, bring in Gustafson and Lily.
I find disgusting about that hit is it's like, it's not a hockey play where you're trying to make something happen and finish your check. There's less than a second left to go in the period. Nothing can happen of this except for an injury. And our 39-year-old man Giordano goes down, misses the first few shifts of the third period. And They got a power play out of it, so it's not like the refs just ignored it and said no. But it's just more of that dirty Tampa hockey of we're just going to hit you and injure you, and we're going to take advantage of the situation and go from there. Because you're right, I don't see any reason why that shouldn't have been 5-minute boarding major. Like, I've seen other calls similarly made to that. I don't know if we lost because of the refs, but that one was frustrating.
A Leaf would get suspended. They missed a lot of calls. You know? There was we can get back to Gio and Hall, but I mean, there was some rough calls in this game, or non-calls.
Right at the end of the game. Matthew Nye is probably missing half his teeth because they got hit out of his face, and the ref's just like, don't spit on me, please.
Yeah, right in front of him. A handful of trips on Mitch, a trip on Matthews. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like, you just like... Even though the Leafs power play didn't look like particularly dangerous tonight, you think though, if they get that two or three extra chances that they would have deserved in the game, even that's just less time that Tampa's, you know, at even strength and can maybe score on us. It's a different story. So, I mean, definitely a situation where officiating still affected the game. And I don't know, I get sick of talking about it and worrying about it, but back to Gio Hall. So we're all in agreement that, you know, the Leafs need to, or Sheldon Keefe needs to pull Hall out of the lineup for the next game, put Liljegren in. And let's go to work.
It seems to be pretty consistent that pairing has been our worst. And I think I think so. Tonight it was definitely the worst. Like, I think that was the worst game of the series for Hull by a long shot. I'm not expecting it. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Hull is back out there again for game six, but I also wouldn't be shocked if we see Liljegren draw in and Hull takes a seat on the next one.
It's Keefe, honestly, better though, because I get you say that you don't expect it to, because I guess maybe you have Keith's like past actions, but you absolutely have to. We've played five games now, and we've had five different forward combinations in those five games, where generally speaking, like, the offense hasn't been the problem in this series, right? And here goes Keefe, right, who will just go into six straight games with the same D pairs, where you have one that you clearly see is bleeding. And again, Tim said, what, 70 goals against for Hull in this playoff
like
series?
70%. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So
he's like,
it's Keefe. But let's get back then to this Keefe Galaxy braining the Bunting situation. So for those unaware, Michael Bunting served his 3-game prison sentence by George Parros for doing something that, again, Tampa does 17 times a game. But he had the opportunity to play tonight. The Leafs coming off 3 straight wins. And Sheldon Keefe says, "You're sitting in the press box tonight, son." Out of respect, he calls him son. And I don't know. I can go both ways. Like, but in hindsight, you guys feel like they probably should have put him in, right?
I mean, we lost. So clearly something else was needed. I just look at the fact, like, he is, Mike, like, not a fourth liner. We have two guys like Zach Aston-Reese and Sam Lafferty, partly because we were behind all game. They had 6 to 7 minutes of ice time. You tell me that Michael Bunting couldn't have done more in 6 to 7 minutes of ice time than those guys?
Here's the problem, though. Hindsight, like, the fact that he wasn't in and they lost, it's, you know, that's, he should have been in. But you don't know what would have happened if he was in, because absolutely, if Keefe made the decision to put Michael Bunting in the lineup and Bunting can't control his emotions, gets goaded into multiple penalties, not even necessarily like dirty hits and suspensions, just getting Tampa on the power play and Tampa converts on those, we'd be sitting here saying, Keefe, you won 3 games in a row. You know Bunting can't keep his emotions in check. We've seen it with Kadri multiple years in a row. These guys can't keep a lid on it when it really counts. Why were you messing things up and putting Bunting back in the lineup? So you can't have it both ways. Keefe made a decision. I'm with Steven. I could have gone both ways. We also in the last pod that we thought he was going to come back in. The fact that he wasn't back in, I don't necessarily think it was a boneheaded, Keefe was just galaxy braining and way overthinking it. I think he just made a call for what he thought was the best chance we were going to win this game tonight. We didn't win. Now I very much think he will be in for game six.
I just think, though, if you're Keefe, those reasons that you outlined that, like, Bunting, you know, shouldn't be in the lineup are the reasons that he wouldn't be in the lineup any given night, though, right? Like, we knew everything about Michael Bunting that came true in this playoffs before game one started, and he was in the lineup in game one. I don't know. But I 100% agree that, like, we don't know what the game would have been like with Michael Bunting in the lineup, because he saw the one game that he was in, and it was unlike any other game in this series so far. And not great hockey, and also not hockey that the Leafs are really capable of winning, because we got absolutely cooked in that game. So
I can't believe you're calling a Wes McCauley debacle on Michael Bunting. Like, Michael Bunting was an effective NHL player for 60 out of the 80 games this year. Yeah. And you guys are, like, dragging him through the mud. Like, he can't even be trusted not to take a penalty.
Well,
he does good things,
too.
He scored
good in game one. He did a lot of good in game one, sitting in the box for 5 minutes while they were on the power play, Tim. This is crucial must-win games. You're acting like it's a sure thing that Michael Bunting's going to keep a cool head and score a goal or two in the game six. No way that's
his major penalty was such a fluke. Like, that was the first major penalty of Bunting's career. Like,
you're delusional.
That's not the way Michael Bunting works. He's an effective NHL player.
He's a dirty,
like, he
hothead who cost his team, Tim.
But
the game was lost before that.
Have we not seen this before? Why are you going back to the well? It's like,
the guy scored 20 goals.
He's
20 goals, and you say he's a press box player because of one play?
Kadri scored 30 goals in back-to-back seasons. Who cares if you're not in the
game?
And
he cost us the series by being suspended.
Kadri has won a cup.
By being suspended. If we had him in those three games, we win that series. If we have Michael Bunting these three games, maybe it's over. You guys are being like totally ridiculous saying that he should be in the press box because he might take a penalty.
But
it's the referees. They don't have the penalties that happen. They don't even call.
Tim, it's because they won. The Leafs just won three playoff games in a row. I mean, like,
they played 3 minutes of hockey in those three games and happened to win. They didn't play good hockey in three games.
That is, even like, has any other series in like the entire first round has one team of any other team won three games in a row? Like, it really doesn't happen very often, especially not this year. So I don't blame Keith a ton for saying that, like, hey, you know, we're gonna keep Bunting in the box or in the press box tonight because, like, let's just not mess with a good thing. But there's two sides of the coin. If it were me, coach of
can't
the Maple
believe
Leafs,
you guys are
Michael
defending
Bunting this guy. Because Tim, they won three games in a row without him.
And how much of a factor was the fourth line in those three games? Well, zero, if not negative factor.
A bigger factor than Bunting was in game one. You're crazy.
Our fourth line was caved in three games, and he keeps it together. And tonight, he keeps them together to play 6 minutes of hockey?
Tim,
none of those guys can move up the
deny,
lineup.
Tim, the Leafs looked good tonight. They look better tonight than they did in game three or four of the games that they won.
Do you know why? It's because the fourth line only had 6 minutes of ice time.
Tim, once again, disregarding that sustained pressure in game four in Tampa's offensive zone that the fourth line produced. Tim completely ignoring it.
Sorry, did they score on that play? Or did they get? No, how many shots did they? Oh, wait, no shots at all. Maybe Michael Bunting gets shots.
The thing, though, too. We talked about in the chat after the decision was made that you better believe that the guys in the fourth line are going to be buzzing tonight because they know that their seat's getting hot. They got some hot butts, and that was not the case whatsoever. So they deserved, like, Zach.
After this performance, the fourth line was just like a blah tonight. Maybe Keith's thinking of going 11-7.
I don't know, though, that Bunting's just a lock to come in on the fourth line. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, no, because he's better than a fourth line player.
Yeah, I think he gets put right back on the first line.
First line.
Yep, I think that's where he goes. Cali Yarncrook, I get it that like the advanced stat heads are saying, "Oh, Cali Yarncrook's an effective first line player." The man has not found the back of the net on the top line.
He missed a gimme that tonight.
Yeah, that's their job. I don't like the fire out of him. I think he was getting chummy with Victor Hedman in front of the net tonight. I don't like that. I don't care if he's your countryman. I don't give a crap. I want some anger out of him. Bunting goes back on that first line for me. And
so you go from saying Bunting is worse than a fourth liner to Bunting is on the first line in one game?
Tim. But Bunting can go on the top.
Three games in a row without
Bunting
him.
Bunting can go on the top
Did you
line
watch those
because
games?
Because he's not good on any other line. He's a one. We've seen him play on the second line.
He was good on the second line.
On the bottom half of the. No, he's played like no games on the second line. He either plays on the top line with Matthews and Marner, or sometimes Matthews and Nylander, or he was in the bottom six where he was ineffective. So I agree with Steven. If he's in the lineup, I want him on Matthews and Marner because that's literally the only line that we've ever seen Bunting be good on. And if you were going to have Michael Bunting be good on that line, that's great. Because that means Yarncrook can go on the third line. I don't think the third line had a great game. I thought it was probably O'Reilly's worst game so far of the series in this night. He wasn't able to drive the line with Kerfoot and Achari, and they just weren't very noticeable.
He was good at faceoffs, though.
Great on faceoffs. They love the faceoffs. But you put Yarncrook and Achari on that line, and maybe it's a little bit more dangerous, and Kerfoot can slot down to the fourth line, which is probably an upgrade from what we've seen so far. So yeah, Tim, I'm not saying Michael Bunting's a bum and he can't play hockey. I'm just saying that it wasn't a ridiculous statement to say we just won three games in a row. Michael Bunting's a hothead and he could cost us this game. Let's take a pass on him now. But yeah, I think he'll be in this and I think he will be on the top line with Matthews and Marner for game six.
I can go back to a couple episodes ago. I'm pretty sure you said the words exactly. Michael Bunting is a bum.
Oh, well, sorry. Let me rephrase. He is a bum, but he is talented at hockey. But yeah, he's a butthead.
Just for the record, I'm not disrespecting Alex Kerfoot, and I will not speak on where he should be in the lineup after the heroics that he had in game four. Thank you to Alex Kerfoot and the Kerfoot family.
That was a rough clearing attempt penalty. Shades of Mitch Marner.
What I didn't like about that, too, is that, like, say you didn't send it over the glass, Kerfoot. Like, why? How is it helping the team there to just take an icing, right? There was nobody anywhere near where that puck was going to be going if it had hit the glass. And
oh, there were 20,000 fans where that puck was going.
So there was still a lot of that tonight. A lot of, like, get the puck, whack right. it away. Give me a break.
Let's talk about the number one reason why we lost this game. This was
referees?
The first time. No, this is the first time. Definitely other than game one. Ilya Samsonov, just the worst goalie in the game. Vasilevsky found his game, made some big time stops, kept them in the game. And I would say that Vasilevsky won Tampa the game. And Samsonov lost us the game. That was just an unacceptable goal he gave in as the second goal. Couldn't find the rebounds, couldn't cover the puck. He made some nice saves, but unlike the previous few games, he didn't make the saves when we really needed him to. And that burned us.
Vasilevsky definitely stole quite a few shots. Like, he kept them in it. We didn't have as many screened shots and the tips that have been our bread and butter. We missed the net a lot. So maybe that's just like a luck thing, or maybe it's Tampa's defense. But like, Vasilevsky definitely was a better goalie today. And
you can see that they were closing in on our defense on the blue line really aggressively. They weren't letting us take those shots from the point, which typically are considered a less dangerous shot. Like, that most teams would let you take that to cover the passes, and they were trying to get us at the point, exposing some passes we weren't able to take advantage of. Were we going to say, Steven?
Oh, just that, like, some of the Leafs' offensive woes tonight felt like just some bad puck luck, though, because, like,
yeah,
I would count maybe three pucks that, like, were sitting on the crease, not on the side that Vasilevsky was there, and just none of them made it in. So I guess
And that was happening in the reverse over the past number of games, right? There's that quick whistle, as Cooper would put it, that saved the goal that Point would have scored, and Matthew Nyes dragged the puck off of the goal line to keep that from going in. Like, that's the luck that we've been having in the previous games. And yeah, this game, it just went the other way, and Tampa got a little bit of luck there, and that was the difference.
Well, according to Tim, Michael Bunting would have batted in all three of those pucks sitting there on the crease, and
all of them
would have led the.
He might have. Michael Bunting is good at hockey. He's just a butthead.
Well, Tim knows him. He had grade 8 math with him, so they're close.
I think the point about Samsonov, that was a ref goalie let in, but, like, still undisputed, he's going in game 6.
Yep, 100%.
He'll be better when he's got actual NHL defensemen in front of him on the play. Let's get,
NHL defenseman on the play for the Leafs.
No, yeah, seriously, man. Hey, you know what, though? Jake McCabe had a great game. Morgan Rielly had a great game. I thought Luke Shen had a great game. Like, aspects of this team are working, but it's just like, how many series in a row are we going to go where we have this D pairing that's just a complete anchor? I mean, all Tampa's worst D pair does is just, trip our guys and interfere with our guys and not end up taking any penalties for it. So let's get some, I don't know. I'm still mad at officiating. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. We don't need to go too long. I mean, anybody else got something to say?
That our big boys looked good in this game. Matthews looked really good. Nylander that was his best game so far, and which is really good, because I don't think he's kind of, along with Hall, been on the downward trajectory. Nylander looked like he was shot out of a cannon tonight. He was just rolling around the offensive zone. I think the Matthews Nylander, along with Tavares Marner, I think those pairs are going to be the pairs for game 6 and game 7 if needed.
So,
game
6, we head to Toronto, or sorry, we head to Tampa, and I have a question for you guys. Are you...
You're dripping sweat.
We've seen this story before. The Toronto Maple Leafs.
I know, I'm nervous.
Home, away, on that Monstars planet from Space Jam. Does not matter. The Toronto Maple Leafs have not won a game 6 since before any of my children were alive.
They're 0-10 in possible series clinching games.
This sucker's going 7 games, guys.
You guys were the ones who predicted 6. I said 5. You guys said 6. I was wrong. You guys could be right. Come on.
I didn't know how it was going to go down. How the series is going to play out. I'm allowed a mulligan on what I said a week and a half ago. No, the Maple Leafs, just settle down. The Maple Leafs are going to lose on Saturday. We're going to do a podcast. I'm going to eat my pizza. And then gross. We're going to come back here on Monday night and win the game at the bank in Toronto on Monday. The Leafs aren't winning this game on Saturday. There's no way the Leafs are winning this game on Saturday. They've never won the Saturday game. They've never won game six. Some of the worst memories of my entire life are Toronto Maple Leafs playoff game sixes. I remember them all.
I know. The overtime one, horrible. But maybe this year will be different.
If I was right? Mulliganing my game five prediction and I had to choose right now if the Leafs are winning in six or winning in seven, I'm picking six. I think the Leafs will get it done next game.
We'll get a couple bounces.
They played well this game. This is the best game we've seen them play since game two. Like, they played better than they did in three and four. They kept up with Tampa. They had bad puck luck in the offensive zone. Samsonov led in a brutal goal, which gave Tampa the lead, and then we're chasing the game after that. The top guys are looking good. Plays. Tim's favorite player in the world is going to be coming back into the lineup. We'll see if Hall is out and Liljegren's in. Like, I think we're going to be okay. I feel better about game six than I did about game five. So we'll see how he goes.
Sure.
Well, Brian feels good. Not sweaty.
Tim, are you sweaty?
I'm pretty sweaty. It's like, we've seen this movie before. We're on the rerun.
We had
the golden opportunity at home. Tampa's on the back foot. And now it's going back to Tampa. They have the momentum. They have the confidence. I mean, as much as I hate the cockiness, I forget who it was, the Tampa player was like, we all know that this is the team to blow a fourth lead. We're going to seven. We'll be back. And it's like, ugh, I hate it because he's likely right. But then again, this team can do it. If the Leafs win on Saturday, I won't be surprised. This team is like, I think they are better than Tampa. It's just like, do they get the bounces? Do they want it enough? Do they have, I mean, they didn't have a killer instinct this game. They didn't put it away. Can you last 1 minute without
killer instinct
letting them score?
The stupidest thing. Like, what, if you win, you have killer instinct? Did they have killer instinct in game three when they sucked the whole game and they won? Was that killer instinct, Tim? It's the stupidest phrase.
I mean,
phrase.
When you see an killer instinct, you see an opportunity, you take it. You don't throw it away. Today, they scored the first goal, threw it away. They say, like, what? We're going to coast after one goal? Oh, wait, the referee dropped the puck a minute ago, and now it's in our net.
I'm over it. Ridiculous. I'm over the phrase. It's stupid.
It was nice, though, to see them, like, really rally in the end, though, and get that goal and, like, look good. And I knew that I had a really good feeling they were going to score at least one more goal. I was like, you know, as long as Sammy doesn't let one in, we got a chance here, and we let that one in. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sweaty as well. Anyways. I want to be with you, Ryan, but no, I'll see you guys Saturday night for a sad pod. And Monday night, we win it. I still think the Leafs will win this series. And the Leafs are different this year, yes, but how different are they than any other NHL team? I don't know. Not one series has had a team win four games in a row. I mean, maybe we are getting a little rich here. The fourth is the hardest one to win, man.
Well, listen, we've seen it in this series. The team that deserves to win isn't always the team that wins. Like, we saw it in back-to-back games in three and four. We didn't necessarily deserve to win those games, and we did. That's why it's so nice to be up 3-1 in the series, that we have three chances to win this game. Not even three chances to outperform the Tampa Bay Lightning, just three chances to get some lucky calls from the refs and a few lucky bounces and, like, a hot goaltender in one of them, and then boom, you're in the next round of the playoffs. So it's putting the odds in your favor, and it didn't go our way tonight. We played a good game. Tampa did as well, and we didn't win. We'll try again Saturday. What could be better than putting it home on hockey night in Canada? Let's go.
Ugh, I'm ready. Okay. Need more stress in my life.
Listen. Sure as the sun rises every day at dawn, the Maple Leafs will go to game seven.
Stop! Yeah. Why are you doing this? Get out of
here.
You're just
saying that because you're busy on the night of the game.
No,
you don't
absolutely
want
not. I cancel my life on all of April and all of May every year. And this is what I get.
What we get. All right.
If one more game.
One more game. Our next pod might be after the Leafs advance to round two.
Oh,
that's wild to think about.
I hope so. Go Leafs, go!